Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
Yeah,
we should learn to do that in harmony. I'm Will.
Da, 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 da. I'm Norm. My singing voice is terrible. So
I have a present for you guys.
Oh,
ooh.
So we have talked about the Bourne bag, the red bag,
yeah,
and the waste basket. I think it's one of our highest
people liked
viewed
it.
Videos that went all over the place.
People liked it a lot.
My friend Indy Magnoli out of Australia, who is a fantastic replica maker and actually has a website, Magnoli Clothiers. He sells replica props and costume stuff. I sent him all the dimensions and high-res scans and information about the Bourne bag, and he made a perfect replica of the bag, and I've got one for each of
you. We can each make our own Bourne bag.
He did a wonderful job.
So now you guys can walk. There are slight differences to the original, which is just inevitable in a process like this, but that also means it won't be hard for me to authenticate if someone ever asks me, is this an original?
For realsies.
This is not an easy thing to replicate.
No.
Mass produce.
He's very good. Actually, you can still buy them up on his website, I believe. I can't remember the exact cost, but it's under $100.
Regular tested readers will know.
Absolutely.
They'll have seen by now.
And if I see you on the street wearing this, just beware, because I'll go, red bag on the ground!
Now, you also had a question about that.
The wastebasket.
The wastebasket, because that's something.
So this wastebasket is stainless steel. It's chromed. It has no maker's mark on it.
With three
it's got 3 feet,
three pads on the bottom, but that actually don't hit the ground.
Okay.
I mean, perhaps there's.
It looks like they used to have rubber stuff.
Yeah, they
on
might
there.
Have had rubber feet there, and it's got these holes, which are about, I'd say, 5/16 or even 3/8 holes, all the way around.
And how many of them go? Do you know how many go up?
They go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 up,
okay.
And they go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 around.
It was all I could do to not start saying other numbers there.
Oh, I know. Wasn't that thrilling in real time?
Yeah.
10 up, 26 around.
Yeah.
With 3 feet in the ground.
If anybody, so it's clearly a manufactured item. They didn't just make this for the movie. So if anyone knows where we can get this, this movie was shot in, those scenes weren't shot in Switzerland. I can't remember where they were exactly filmed.
But it was shot in like 2000, 2002?
Something like that. And
the firstborn movie.
You would be looking into Europe. You'd be looking to European housewares around the time the Bourne Identity was made. This is probably something someone sent a prop maker out to just go get something.
Right, they went
like
to the
this.
German equivalent of Bed Bath & Beyond
exactly.
And came back with a weird German trash can.
Precisely. I've never been able to find this one, but if anyone found this and we're able to get a couple, I'd be very much obliged.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Adam.
Of course.
And, continuing our tradition of perfect segues, let's talk about vacations.
Yes.
So... we've talked a little bit about traveling before, but kind of traveling for work. And for me, a large part of my formative years were spent, in the summer times and at spring break, riding with the family in cars to go to different places, like the Henry Ford Museum in Detroit, which was an amazing place to go when you're 12 or 13
years old.
Great
American road trip.
Wow.
My father owned his own business, so we were able to kind of make the vacation was a business trip, and he would pick some place that he wanted to go sell, and then we'd stop and do a bunch of cool stuff along the way.
That's really cool.
And those experiences, I'm as a new father, I'm thinking about how that stuff translates to now and how. So let's talk about best vacations, both as a kid and as a parent.
So we were quite lucky in that my great grandmother purchased a peninsula of land in Cape Cod round about the turn of the last century, 1900.
Okay.
My grandmother was born there. My mom grew up going there every summer. We have a house up there with a bunch of other relatives. I think there's 3 or 4 families on the point at this point, 15 houses or so. And it's like 4 or 5 generations now that have grown up going to this house in the Cape, these houses, this piece of land. So that was a summer. Every summer we did that. My dad was a painter and an animator, so he also had control over his schedule, and we would go for a month every summer, which was kind of magical.
That's awesome, yeah.
You'd take your shoes off when you landed, and you really didn't put them back on until it was time to go back to civilization.
And was this a place you kind of went to by boat, or is this...
No, you just drive there.
Drive there.
It's in the middle of Cape Cod, east of Buzzards Bay, down here around the armpit of Cape Cod.
Okay. Oh, Cape Cod's armpit. You
yeah.
say.
We also did. We did a couple of trips, and the one I remember the most is that my father was obsessed with. I should start with this. What we think of as landscape painting mm-hmm. was always considered a lesser art until a set of artists, Thomas Cole, Asher Durand, Albert Bierstadt, started to paint really serious landscapes on the Hudson. And they're called the Hudson River School of Landscape Painting yeah. and established landscape painting as its own art form, as its own genre. Albert Bierstadt, if you see his like huge paintings of Victoria Falls and stuff like that, you'd recognize them, these big dramatic skies and landscapes with, you know, incredible amounts of detail. And my father was obsessed with the Hudson River School.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a film for the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York when I was a kid about this. He started out with one of the lesser-known artists named Jasper Cropsey, because my dad figured out the actual locations that Cropsey painted his paintings.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
On the Upper Hudson, about 35 miles north of New York City, there's a big mountain called Hook Mountain. It is a very prominent feature. You can see it from my house in Tarrytown. You could also see it from West Point, south on the river. Pretty sure you could see it from West Point. And it is like a kind of a central geographic visual reference on the Hudson River. And many of the artists painted it. And my father found all these places that
Cropsey
had
painted.
So he
used it as a point
of
reference and then could kind of back into where the paintings were made.
Yes,
that's awesome.
But when he was first making the Jasper Cropsey film, before he made the Hudson River Artist School film, we took a road trip up to the source of the Hudson. And we traveled up through New York to the Finger Lakes and to a place called Garnet Lake and Big Moose Lake. And we stayed, I can't even remember, I think it was like a 2-week trip. Tons of driving, tons of staying in weird little lodges in the middle of nowhere. And I just remember it being really magical and really an amazing time.
Like the road trip is the great American, you know, the road trip's a great American thing, right?
It really is.
It's like my father, that was his thing. He liked to go get in the car and just drive for 2 or 3 weeks. And we would go see crazy stuff and stay in terrible motels a lot of times. Occasionally stay someplace nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, as a result, we got to go to, like I said, Henry Ford, the Dayton Air Show.
Yeah.
The Wright-Patterson Air Force Base Museum, which is one of the great museums of the world. And in addition to that, we also went to all these crazy, like, apparently a real trendy thing to do at some point in the past was to have a county museum. So like your county,
wow. I didn't know that
people would die and stuff would get donated to the city or the town or the county or whatever. And it seemed like it was more in the Southwest and the West, but like in Bishop, there's this county museum for whatever county Bishop, California's in. This is in the Eastern Sierras, kind of between the Nevada border and the mountains. And it's just crazy stuff. So there's like old dentist tools from the turn of the century in the late 1800s from when they initially settled. There's train locomotives,
there's wagons,
there's building, like wholesale buildings. Like they picked up the pharmacy, moved it downtown, the old barber shop and all that stuff. It's really neat.
I want to pause here for a second to talk about amusement parks, because that is another great American pastime.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Why?
Do you mean amusement parks or roller
like
coasters?
Disney and Six Flags and that stuff?
I'm lumping them all together into one group. Here's the thing.
Because it's packaged entertainment.
No, not that. I don't know, philosophical problem. It's a direct visceral problem with eating crappy food and riding on things that makes you throw that crappy food up. Mm. Standing on lines on hot days. I don't
agree.
I don't like being outside in general. Me and the sun have an agreement to disagree. I know I spend a tremendous amount of time outdoors because of Mythbusters, but for the most part, like standing out in these hot locations, I took my boys when they were 4 to Legoland and I vowed, that's what your grandparents do. I am never going to do these things again, because those parks are just they're really are like unhappiness engines as far as I'm concerned. You walk into this park and there might be 5 great rides, but your kids are like, we want to go on the first one we see, and they're like freak out. You stand online for an hour and a half, the thing lasts for 4 minutes, and they're like, we want to go on the next thing.
Well, it's one of those
things, turn kids into little monsters.
Yeah,
I see no point. I recognize that people love them and that's great for them, it's just not for me.
Well, it's one of those things that a premium experience would go a long way. If I could could pay a whole lot extra money and be there on a day that they let a 16th of the people in.
Well,
so I just walk right onto the rides.
I'll tell you,
I'd be down for that.
Early on in MythBusters, we went and were present at Disney World for the opening of Mission Space, which was really quite special. I got to be at a party with like 300 people where Sugar Ray opened for the B-52s. Like, it was a surreal night. I got really drunk with Marsha Brady. It was a crazy, crazy, like
real
crazy,
Marsha Brady or Marsha?
No, Maureen
okay.
McCormick.
Okay.
It was
that's fantastic.
That I'm not surreal. Sure she got drunk. I got very drunk.
Okay.
And I don't mean to cast any aspersions. She was there with her family. It was all wholesome. Boy, did I get drunk. So when we went to Disney World that time, we were VIPs, and they would walk us around and go, do you want to ride on something? And you'd point, and they would walk you over and put you right on there. And then we'd finish, and Jamie would go, can we do that again? And they go, sure, and we go right back on.
Now, there were people already in line.
Yes, there were. Oh, yeah. No, it was the serious.
You're throwing MythBusters weight around.
It was. Look, that is a fine way to go to an amusement park.
Did Jamie wear a beret with the ears?
I'm not even going to grace that with an answer. We did a road trip a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago with my boys, actually. We did a drive up the West Coast from San Francisco all the way to Whistler, BC and back
again. Oh, wow.
Now, did you take the scenic route or did you take the fast route?
We took 101.
That's the scenic route.
That's the scenic route. We took 101 all the way up. We took 101 from here to Eureka. Which I believe is, I'm not going to cast aspersions on Eureka. We didn't enjoy our time there.
There's a really nice Italian restaurant.
We stayed at this murder hotel that was.
Oh, you got to always stay at the Best Western.
With a deathbed.
No, and
always
love,
stay at the Best Western.
My family has discovered the Best Western.
The Whistler
best,
one?
Best Western is the one in Pismo Beach. Drive down there. It's like 2.5 hours from here. It's right on the coast. You have this beautiful view of the Pacific Ocean with a pool right there. The Best Western in Pismo Beach, one of my favorite hotels anywhere. It's really reasonably priced. But we went to Eureka, then Portland, then Seattle. We knew people in each of those places. We stayed a couple of days to go to Powell's Books and eat well in Portland. Yeah. Good places to eat and shop in Seattle. Went to Voodoo Donuts, where my son bought a donut the size of his head and finished it. Le Pichet, fantastic French place in Seattle. Le Pigeon in Portland. And then up to Vancouver, where we ate. Everything was about where we ate. My family now, when we travel, we see, what city are we going to? Has Tony Bourdain been there? Let's go eat there. So we went to Japadog in Vancouver.
Okay.
And then went up to Whistler, where we did some mountain biking. We did some zip lining and drove all the way back. We did 2,400 miles in 12 days.
Oh, that's a good race.
So you took your time, yeah.
We took our time. We improvised. At some time, we were like, we want to stay another day in Portland because riding bicycles today was so fun.
And you know, you can do that type of road trip now and improvise with your cell phone, your smartphone on the fly, which is the best.
Yeah.
And it puts the whoever's in the back seat or you give them responsibility.
Gives you agency. My kids did a lot of that problem solving while we were driving.
That's
it was
fantastic.
Great to involve them in that. I'll tell you, Portland is one of the great bicycling cities in the world right now. We were staying at my favorite hotel, the Kimpton Monaco
it's fantastic.
In Portland. Yeah.
And it's dog friendly too.
It's dog friendly.
I stayed Yes.
Yeah.
It's not called
the decor is all Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Do you think? I think the dog rooms. It's kind of. I don't know if the dog rooms are as nice as the normal human being rooms.
Having stayed in both, I think they're just fine.
Okay.
They really do it up with the dogs too. Like when you stay and you walk in after you've checked in, there's like, we welcome Huxley and Maggie.
Yeah.
And like names of your dogs up on the bulletin board.
And when we took Chloe out, then they're like, oh, if you guys want to go do something, we'd be happy to watch her. I was like, you have no idea what a little monster you're inviting into your
front
desk area.
And then they put treats and a dog bowl and a dog bed in the room. So that was a fantastic trip. We wanted to get in a good road trip. I guess we did this last summer. No.
I think it was summer. It was
the summer before last.
Yeah.
Because we really wanted to do it before. We were thinking we had a limited amount of time before our kids turned into teenage jerks. Luckily, they're teenagers now and they're great. But, you know, we were thinking, you know, until they were like, oh, just leave me alone. You know, we were waiting for that ball to drop.
So the road trip. The thing that you brought up is something I hadn't really appreciated, is that you don't have to do that. Because when I was a kid, doing the research for the trip was a big thing.
All had to happen beforehand. Yeah. You had to look at guides and go to the library. Right. Now, we live in a place where Chowhound and Yelp and other food places will get you to some fantastic meals.
And Chowhound is a real hidden gem. I mean, it is an amazing resource. If you go there, you go to the city that you're going to, and you look at the – I mean, you don't even have to ask. You just look for the stuff,
yeah.
The best – this kind of food, what's the best restaurant. It's all there, and it's awesome.
Like, and Chowhound has much less of the Yelp disease, which is, I don't like Chinese food normally, and I really didn't like this Chinese place. Yeah. You know, that kind of useless review.
Or the bathroom door didn't lock all the way. 1 star.
First of all, they made us wait for 8 minutes after we arrived.
Yeah.
Goodness. Do you find that the concierge at the hotels you stay at are helpful? Because past couple I've stayed at, not the secret place.
Really?
You have to. So at the Monaco, especially when we were there, I talked to the guys who parked the cars.
That is a great. I totally agree with that. And those were our dudes when we rented bikes and we figured out where to go. They directed us all the way to Olympic Provisions.
Yeah.
We rode bikes all across Portland to Olympic Provisions, had a fantastic lunch, and came back.
Well, so you have to, but you have to speak the language enough to let them know that you don't want. Don't want the Starbucks. And you can't just say, I don't want the tourist thing, because everybody always says it. You have to say, oh, I really like this.
Right.
Where should I go to get, you know, I really like Kova. Where's a good place that's analogous to that here? And they'll be like, the place around the corner. Or don't go to Voodoo Donuts. It's for tourists, even though it's kind of awesome. You know, there's another place that does the same kind of thing, but it's better. For
Exactly. I have found concierges to be also hit or miss. Obviously, you know, I stay in some nice hotels these days, and those places... It still can be hit or miss. Right. It is. You're totally right to ask the off the beaten track guys, like the valets.
Yeah, the valets and the bellmen. The concierge just have to play it safe. Is the thing, I think, because the concierge, if you recommend something bad near a concierge, you're going to be in trouble. If you maybe recommend something challenging, you might be in trouble. Yeah. But the valets don't give a shit because, you know, they're like, hey, what's up?
But again, the smartphone, it can't be overstated how many gems you can find. And I swear, you absolutely, and I'll state this unequivocally, cannot go wrong eating anywhere that Tony Bourdain has gone.
Yeah.
We have had, my wife and I, some of the best meals of our lives going to places like Le Pied de Cochon in Montreal, which is just a phenomenal meat lover's paradise. Eating the Beau Somme at Momofuku in New York. You know, that was the first time I heard of David Chang was from Bourdain. Man.
So how do you, is there a list of David Chang approved restaurants someplace?
You mean Tony Bourdain?
Oh, sorry, no, Tony Bourdain. Yeah.
Go to YouTube. Okay. Go to YouTube and search Bourdain Seattle.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's really, that's my wife's technique, and it has never steered us wrong, man.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What about I guess that's it. I guess we covered the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So I will tell you about vacationing also without the children.
Yeah.
Is that my wife and I both like to go places and eat. So mornings is usually spent sleeping in, then figuring out where to have lunch, then coming back and napping, and then figuring out where to have dinner. And that's the whole vacation. Well, and that, to me, is a great vacation.
We plan your vacation based
on how many meals you have.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
I know I'm going to eat... You know, 3 meals a day, maybe have time for a snack.
I'll tell you, when we were in London, we ate at this place called Trinity, which was fantastic. And later on, when we ate at one of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants, we got respect from the staff because we'd been to Trinity. there's like, clearly these guys are interested in food if they went all the way to Clapham for a meal. And, you know, travel... to me is all about that kind of like the relaxing and the eating well, you know. More lately, my wife and I are inclined to do staycations. Actually, we like just, you know, vegging and completely not doing anything.
Yeah,
but that's because things are really busy right
now.
You
go through a lot of books.
Yeah.
You watch a lot of TV and movies. Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that at all.
Any place you've ever, you've not been that you wanted to go?
Oh, I'm sure there's a big list. So many, I'll tell you. My exposure to international places is still somewhat limited. I've been to London and Paris a bunch of times each. I've been to the Netherlands a couple times. I got to go to South Africa for Mythbusters. I spent a couple weeks in Tokyo a million years ago.
I'd love to go to Tokyo.
One of my dreams is actually to travel the Spice Road or the Silk Road. Mm. I've always been fascinated by Istanbul. I've always wanted to go as being one of the most important cities in the world for two millennia, or the better part of two millennia. It's always been one of the most international cities. It's like the proto-New York, where all religions and races are represented, and they all get along because they have to because of commerce.
Yeah.
That is the greatest argument for that commerce bridging those divides between cultures and religions. They've been at the center, you know, of one of the great religious battles of the last couple of millennia, the battle in the Fertile Crescent between Christianity and the Muslim world and Islam, and yet has ridden that quite gracefully. So I'm fascinated by that part of the world. I would love to travel around the Mediterranean more, and it's something I plan to do when I'm older.
Have you ever been tempted to go recreate, like, the Raiders of the Lost Ark trip, or?
You know, the traveling, I know some guys that do a lot of film location travel, and I understand the drive, but it's not something that's that interesting to me.
I think you can do a lot of that in the Bay Area also.
Well, I mean, when you drove up to Portland, you drove right through Endor.
You drove right through Endor, yeah, Muir Woods. We also drove past Bodega Bay, the birds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a
really, that was Bodega Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So that kind of stuff is always fun.
Travel more is
travel more. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Not enough travel happening.
Yeah.
And the road trip, yeah, I can't overstress how much fun the road trip was with my kids and when I was a kid.
Well, and an important part of it for me is to have a little bit of a schedule, but not so much that you can't add that extra day in Portland if you're having a good time or you know, whatever.
I'll finish with a quote from Kurt Vonnegut where he says, "Travel plans gone astray are dancing lessons from God."
It's perfect. We'll see you guys next week. YouTube, iTunes, all the normal stuff. Thank you guys for supporting us. And if you should check out Tested because we have good stuff up there.
And if you have questions for Adam, please email us.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
At tested.com with questions for Adam.
In the subject line.
In the subject line.
Yeah. See you guys next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.